Rankings reveal last night for the college football playoff. Are we seeing some flaws in the system? Open lines, 248-539-9797. I think there are some hypotheticals that can get people worked up, but I thought they did a good job last night. I thought they ranked the SEC in the proper order for what has happened so far. I think that the whole Boise thing is going to surprise people today, but as of today, is justified based on results on the field. And if you're unhappy with any of this, that's the beauty of it, guys. You can earn your way in still if you're unhappy with what's happened so far. I don't really know that anybody is going to have much of a complaint. Just go win. If you're Indiana, well, what if we lose and we get left? Just win. I mean, John, it's in front of everybody. I don't think Indiana should fall out if they lose to Ohio State, if they're competitive in that game. But some people have already started that hypothetical. If you win, there's no complaints. If you're an SEC team, what if we lose the SEC title game? How about you just win it? How about winning? That's the whole point of playing the game. What if this team that finishes fourth in their conference doesn't get in? Wah! Better luck next year. I think this system, for the most part, and I have one minor critique, is working. The one thing I would tweak, John, is I would say, yes, conference champions should have an automatic spot, but I don't think they should get automatic buys. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand if you put BYU and Boise and Miami in as conference champions.
And they get their gold star.
But I don't think they should be guaranteed bye weeks or preferential seating. They may end up as the four worst teams or the three worst teams. That's the only tweak I would make to the current system.
Right, because as it sits right now, Oregon would be the one seed, they get a bye. Texas is the two seed, they get a bye. I think
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, you're not going to argue that. But in regards to Miami, Boise State, BYU, the other champs of those other conferences, are they better than Georgia, Penn State, Ole Miss, Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State? Like that, I agree with that.
Yeah, I'm cool with automatic bids, but not automatic buys.
Okay,
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
okay, yeah.
That's where I think I don't think there should be automatic bids.
No.
No. And so are you telling me right now that BYU, and this could be a season where a power, quote unquote, power conference is left out of the 12-team playoff. If you're not good enough to be in, then why should you just get why should you get an automatic spot to participate if you haven't done enough or your resume isn't good enough? And this goes to, and trust me, I know what I'm saying, this Indiana, if they lose one game, they lose their biggest matchup to Ohio State, they may be out. But it should simply be the 12 best teams. But then you get into what is the criteria?
Ding, ding, ding.
Because you don't have a lot of crossovers. You don't have all of these conferences playing each other. And so you don't have common opponents. We have a common opponent when we're talking about Boise State. Now, they took Oregon, the number one team in the country, early in the season, and I think Oregon is maybe the most improved team over the course of the college football season. They lost by a field goal at the end of the game to the number one team in the country. Now, they weren't the number one team in the country at that time, but that's certainly a resume builder. Craig, you seem like you want to say something.
I do. Thank you, John. Here's why I disagree with you. I think that college football for too long has been ruled by subjectivity. We voted on national championships. This team looks better. This team, look, they're from the SEC. It's a better conference. It just is. I think that what conference championships do is add an element of objectivity to the sport, which it needs.
I agree with that.
It does, but if you play in that game, if you're willing and you've been good enough throughout the course of the season to earn a spot in the championship game, should you ultimately be penalized and jumped by a team that wasn't good enough to even make it to that game?
I don't think that extreme scenario is going to happen, by the way. I don't think Tennessee with two losses will get in over a three-loss Georgia that beat them head-to-head,
for example. Most likely there's going to be a three-loss team coming out of that SEC championship game.
Yes. I mean, unless Texas were to make it with one loss and lose.
And then
only messes it up in a different way. But you don't want there to be auto bids for conference champions. So
No. You
don't want to guarantee the ACC and the Big 12 a spot on an annual basis.
Why would you?
Because to me, it's hard to determine the best teams, which is the goal, because we don't get enough cross-pollinization. You only play 12 games. You only play three non-conference in some cases. It's hard to make definitive statements that five teams in a conference are better than the best team in another conference when we don't get enough of a data set to do that. This incentivizes you to win your conference. It doesn't take entire sections of the country and rule them ineligible. We want everybody to play their way in. You have chances in the Big Ten, in the SEC, to play your way in. The same should be true in the ACC and the Big 12 and the Group of Six. play your way in, settle it on the field. You have ample opportunities.
Well, and this is why they need to go to a two-conference system. And I think eventually we will get there for the college football playoff side of things. It doesn't mean that the Big 12 has to go away because it is a basketball conference. We're going to have a completely different conversation come March when we're talking about bids in the NCAA tournament. I do think that the Big 12 is they're a basketball conference. They're basketball schools.
A lot of them, yeah.
And so you look at this and you say, well, what's the ultimate situation? The ultimate situation is college football separates itself. You have two conferences and you set it up in a way where you have divisions, you have two sides of a league, and I'm basically describing the NFL.
Yes.
That's how you end up getting rid of all of this discussion.
It cleans it up. Are people willing to go that far? So, John, as we look at this right now, and by the way, 248-539-9797, people's gripes are going to be different. Some people have issues about Indiana's resume right now, right? Their schedule, I think, is outside the top 100. They don't yet have a marquee win.
To your point, they can solve it on the field.
Yes. And if they lose to Ohio State by 100 points and they get left out, I'd feel bad because I like the story, but I ultimately would say you're fourth in your own conference, cry me a river. The thing that bothers me more, though, is the SEC, where you have teams that didn't just lose one game. They've lost two, and in some cases may lose three, and we have to cram in a fifth team from that conference. You have enough advantages already. You had enough opportunities already. You're not good enough. Sorry that no one's told you that in your life. You're not good enough.
But you're playing a much more difficult schedule, versus what the Big 12 is playing, or the ACC.
But the question is, okay, Florida. Is Florida a tough game? Georgia really struggled with Florida, right? Miami blew the doors off of Florida. Is the ACC better? You see, you can't do one-offs. It's really
right,
hard
BYU
to do that.
BYU lost to a three-win
Kansas team. Yeah, exactly, right? But
that's supposed to be their conference champion.
But LSU would be considered part of that meaty middle of the SEC, the meat grinder of the SEC. They're not the best, but they're really tough. They lost to USC. Like, how good is the SEC? Is it possible that they are not as good as they once were, that this is a down year in the SEC, yet people feel like they need five teams based on history, not what's actually happening on the field?
Because they are participating in the SEC, they should be awarded a spot in the playoff.
Shouldn't there be credit for playing a tougher schedule.
Participating in a tougher schedule, John?
Playing a tougher schedule.
Participating in a tougher schedule.
If you're BYU and you end up losing to a team that's only got three wins at this point of the season, how much does that penalize you? I mean, we could be talking about a team in Colorado that ultimately participates in the college football playoffs that got boat raced by Nebraska.
Nebraska, they have two losses right now. I think they lost to Kansas State, too. Yeah, a two-loss Big 12 team could still get in.
So you're telling me that Colorado is better than Ole Miss?
I think both are going to get in as of right now, to be honest with you.
You think Colorado gets in?
If they win out, they will get in, and Ole Miss will get in.
But do you think they'll win out?
I do. I actually do think they're going
to
win out.
They have to beat BYU.
Which I think they will.
Right. So, because their other two games are.
But I think both will get in, John.
Well, yeah, but everybody thought BYU was playing an easy team in Kansas, even though the line didn't say it was.
That conference is garbage now. It doesn't even come.
So, why should they get a seat at the table?
I would say I don't have a problem with one. Hey, if you win a big conference, because then you would almost argue, well, then why should Boise? And then you go down the road, well. Beyond Miami, and you're going to have 11 SEC and Big Ten teams. I mean, I think that gets a little extreme, so I don't have a problem with conference champs. I do want to bring this
just to be clear. That is what you want, because you don't want auto bids. You want the 12 best teams. And in your mind, that is those conferences.
Right now. Now, in another 2 years, we've seen with Indiana, it could be completely different.
I just think, I'm listening, it's a great passionate debate. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer here, and that's the beauty of college sports. I think the same thing happens sometimes at the NCAA tournament. But I was talking to Greg, and I was like, what if you brought back the BCS rankings and they strictly determine the top 12?
The computer rankings?
Yes.
Or we're going Greg Palm?
To a degree, yeah.
What if they determined the seven teams that got in as at-large? You still preserved conference titles and winning your conference, but the next seven were computerized.
Those rankings don't care what conference you're in or anything. They strictly look at the data.
But my point is, I think data can be hard to glean when you only play three non-conference games
right.
to make these determinations, sweeping determinations, by the way, over who's the best conference. Not team. You're making sweeping conference-wide decisions. I think team by team, you can do that. I think when you start factoring in what we think the gauntlet of the SEC is, now Vandy's good, apparently. Like, we make these propped-up arguments to help the SEC that we don't in any other conference.
And we're also using old arguments and biases with conferences at a time when parity is becoming bigger than ever. So what you just said about Vandy there, yeah, Vandy ain't old Vandy. You know why? Because they can add guys in a portal and flip things quicker than
any other time in college football history.
Indiana's the Vandy of the Big Ten, but because their record's so good this year, you just can't deny that they're good. But I think an argument can be made that maybe they don't belong. We'll see what they look like in Columbus. It's just there's so much subjectivity here that I really do think some, at least part of the formula, should be computer-based.
Here is one of the other fixes. Instead of playing the directional schools in the first three, you have to have the Power Four conferences playing against each other.
John, I would love if we could get 9-game conference schedules standardized. You know who could really use that this year? The SEC, because they'd have one more game to try to knock some of these teams out and solidify more of the good teams. If everybody played 9 and then you required at least one power crossover, that's a 10-game sample. Maybe you make it 11. You're allowed one cupcake game, one group of 6 or FCS, but then you got to play 9 in your conference, 1 or 2 power opponents, so that we do get a true cross-section of who's good and who's bad.
Some of your crossover, we'll talk about it. We'll keep going.
We got calls. We'll get to it. It's all coming up. It's 97.1.
If you're in need of a midweek boost, FanDuel, America's number one sports book, has you covered with the Hump Day Parlays Reward Stack. Now every single Wednesday, you can get a parlay profit boost on everything from spreads to over-unders and even player props. So don't let the weekend have all the fun. Take advantage of the Hump Day Parlays Reward Stack. And who knows, it might just become your favorite day of the week. Look for the Hump Day Parlays Reward Stack in the FanDuel app to find your profit boost. And if you're new to FanDuel, visit FanDuel.com/Jansen. Download the app, explore it. Have some fun. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Max wager amount applies. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including token expiration. See terms for both offers at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Lane Kiffin. John, just to sum up all the different things that people are fixated on right now with the college football ranking reveal, that's one of them. Punishing conference championship
participation.
The guys that lose that game, will they be punished and how severely? The question of auto bids have come up, auto buys, what to do with all these SEC teams, and what to do with Indiana. There's a lot of pre-complaining. Indiana hasn't played Ohio State yet, but what would happen with a loss, and do they get left out entirely because of the SEC monster? Let's get to the phones. Jim on a cell, you could take this wherever you want. You're on 97.1.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I have full faith this year the committee is going to take the conference losers and keep them in. I really don't think in this first year of 12, they want to take the risk of setting the precedent of playing a conference championship game, get beat, and get knocked out of the playoffs. So that's where I think this is going. And I think it's setting itself up, like we've talked in the past, to going to a kind of the mega conference approach, eliminating some of these directional non-conference games and rewarding the teams that are playing all Power 5 conferences, or at least playing 10 Power 5 games instead of 8.
Yeah. I mean, some SEC teams will get away with playing 8 on a given year. Others will schedule. You know, they'll get the 9 because you have your Clemson, South Carolinas, right? You'll have your Florida, Florida States, your Georgia, Georgia Techs. They'll get up to 9 that way. But they don't get to 10 very often the way a lot of the Big Ten teams historically have. John, he said he doesn't think the team that loses the conference title in the SEC will be punished and left out.
Right.
And I tend to agree with him, but I think it does kind of depend on the teams in question. For example, if Georgia were to lose the SEC title game, they beat Tennessee head-to-head. I think you could feel comfortable about putting in a three-loss Georgia over a two-loss Tennessee when right. Georgia has the head-to-head. But what if Alabama loses the SEC title? They have three losses, and Tennessee beat them on the field.
Right.
Does Tennessee then have to get in over them? And then is Georgia left out with two losses? You get what I'm saying? Like,
That's the amount of different endings that we're sitting with right now are you can't you'll go blind and it just trying to look at them and figure them out. First of all, we don't even know how they're going to decide who plays in that game.
Right, because of the tiebreakers, yeah.
Because of the tiebreakers. If there's five teams in the SEC, all with two losses.
Could be six.
It could be six. I mean, it's like, it will come down to a coin toss. So do you want to put your risk of being in or out of the college football playoffs simply on losing a coin toss? Because that determines if you're in the SEC championship game, you lose that game and now you're out?
We are officially in scenario season, a couple weeks out from the final rankings. One more quick ticket texter says, we keep talking about if Indiana loses. What if Ohio State loses? They would have two losses. They would then be put in the same bin with all these SEC teams. Ohio State would claim that their only loss is a one-point loss at Oregon, and they do have the Penn State win, which would be a top-five win. Right. I think Ohio State would still get in.
And they would have a top-five loss in losing to Indiana.
Two losses. Undefeated.
Yeah. I think they would still get in. And it'd be one of these. It'd be the fourth or fifth SEC team. God forbid they would be left out.
But that's so. Here, I think, is the ultimate solution. No one's going to like this, but I don't know how many people actually like what's going on right now.
Awesome. Let's do a solution nobody likes.
Yeah, you play 11 games, 9 conference games. 2 are against other Power 4 teams, and if you don't want to get rid of the directional schools, then do what the NFL does: play a preseason game. So you're not adding a game to the schedule, but you're also playing one that's not going to ultimately count, and it's your warm-up to the regular season.
You know what I like most about the conference champions getting the automatic bid is that it allows for a story like Colorado to happen. That they're, in the past, Colorado, that Nebraska loss would kill them.
Well, some people argue it still should, and that's why they're upset with the playoff.
Well, no, but that's why I like the 12 teams. I like the fact that right now college football is allowing for a team to get better potentially throughout the season and not have one loss hung on them. That's the NFL aspect I like. I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, when they won the Super Bowl, were 7-5, okay? They won out.
To John's point, you're allowed to get better. No, I agree with you. To the person who says they shouldn't even be in if the Colorado gets in with two losses, then they'll get eliminated in the first round and we'll move on. But what if they win? Like, why not play the games and find out?
Yeah, but are you looking at a Colorado team, if they're number 12, that plays Ohio State and just gets blown out versus another team? Maybe it is Ole Miss.
Maybe Tennessee.
Yeah, or Tennessee. And you're playing against Ohio State, and now you've got one that comes down to the wire. You have two better teams
so
playing.
Tennessee would be more deserving as the fifth team in the SEC as opposed to the Big 12 winner. They'd have the same record, two losses. Problem is Tennessee didn't play anybody in the non-conference, so they're maybe not the best example to use. There's going to be a lot of these hypotheticals. Yeah. Ultimately, I love that this is going to happen on the field for the most part. It's not perfect, which is clear based on the reaction we've had today. 248-539-9797. We're going to talk to Michigan head coach Sherrone Moore coming up at 7:35. We're going to talk Red Wing hockey at 7:50. The Iser plan officially off course? Question mark. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, the sudden firing of this longtime, well-respected high school wrestling coach has sparked some outrage in Livonia. Dave Chiola was with the Livonia Public School District for 24 years. He was then terminated suddenly and without explanation on November 1st. He was the wrestling coach at Franklin High School. Apparently, the school sent a letter home to the families of the wrestling team that said Coach Chiola fell short of his own accountability and our expectations as a trusted adult for all students. It went on to say that multiple opportunities were provided for Coach Chiola to learn and grow from past actions, but these expectations were not met. Now, the exact reason for his firing was never actually given. And then there was a school board meeting that got pretty rowdy on Monday, where Coach Chiola himself did discuss the firing. Yeah, people just want to know. They want answers. They want to know what's going on, what's up, why was he fired, right? Yeah. I think everyone deserves to know
that. And if there's a valid reason, then you put it out there, and Right. People will accept it.
Yeah. You guys, Post Malone coming to Ford Field. Big concert. Very exciting. He is set to perform on May 18th. He's going to be joined by Jelly Roll, which another big name coming to Ford Field. Tickets aren't available just yet, but they do go on sale on Tuesday on Ticketmaster. You can get like pre-order tickets if you got access to that. But Tuesday is the day. Pretty exciting. This is his first big stadium concert tour. So
is it really?
The last time he was in Detroit area was at Pine Knob. That was back in 2023. So pretty exciting stuff.
Are you a Post Malone fan, John? He's doing more country stuff now, is why I ask.
I mean, yeah, but my kids play him.
And I like Post Malone.
I like him too.
I sing to him just to annoy the kids.
Oh, there you go. Can we get some of that?
No.
This is the concert I'd go to. I say this all the time. I just don't have the time or babysitters. So if I can find all that, I'll go to more concerts.
There is a rumor we will have those tickets to give away at some point. No promises.
Very cool. Very cool. All non-national Detroit Tigers games for the 2025 season will be broadcast on FanDuel Sports Network Detroit. So the Tigers announced the new TV broadcast deal on Tuesday, noting that everything will pretty much function as it did last season, meaning that pre-game coverage, in-game broadcasts, post-game coverage will all be carried on FanDuel Sports Network. So there you have it.
Answers that question.
It sure does. Finally, dozens of first responders were on the scene of this massive fire at a condo complex in Lake Orion Tuesday evening. This explosion just rocked the complex early evening hours, right around 6:30, completely leveled one of the buildings, caused significant damage to others and damage to multiple buildings there. They say the exact cause of the explosion is unknown right now. It's believed to have been caused by a gas leak. Two people who were originally unaccounted for were found taken to the hospital in critical condition. Crews say several other people suffered minor injuries as well. Scary stuff.
It is. Absolutely. Yeah. It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, Michigan coach Sharon Moore. Let's talk about your teeth. Some of you have skipped going to the dentist. It's stressful. You don't want to go. You're worried. You got that tooth that's been bothering you. At Brightside Dental, there's no judgment. If it's been 6 months, a year, 2 years or more, they're not going to judge you. They want to get you back in and take care of you. Use your dental benefits if you have them before the year ends. You've paid for them. Exams, cleanings, they can take care of you at Brightside Dental. If you need braces, if you need Invisalign, they've got great deals going for new patients to round out the year. $1,500 off braces. Invisalign for as low as $59 a month for 60 months. 9 Metro Detroit locations. Give them a call. Set up an appointment. 1-800-PAINLESS. BrightsideDental.com. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment. Just care. Listening to the station yesterday, there are a lot of people passionate but upset about the hockey team. I think we can carve out some time to tap into that this morning, John. We briefly discussed it yesterday. It was a late night for the Wings. Many of you might not have really recognized what took place, but they lost to San Jose. And they lost all 3 games in California. And they've lost the vast majority of hockey games they've played this season. They've been outshot in the vast majority of hockey games they've played this season. And there are conversations, not only about Derek Lalonde, John, but about Steve Yzerman.
Oh, you can't question him, can you?
I know you're not supposed to.
How's the Yzer plan going for you?
Feels like it's off course. Are we allowed to say that?
Is it off course? Is it just not happening as fast as you want or it should?
Playoffs were a reasonable expectation for this team.
Yeah.
Yeah. So last year they finished within a point of making the playoffs. And Yzerman took the offseason to improve the roster as he saw fit. They don't look better. They look worse. So this is where we talk about the Yzer plan being off course. And we could do, is he getting a free pass? But I think that puts the blame on fans. Like, we're the ones responsible for how long this has taken. Yzerman understandably has a longer leash than most, not only because he played here, but because of the track record with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Mm-hmm. But what I think is starting to happen is he's abusing that leash, where he's preying on the patience of this fan base, where he is taking one of the great hockey cities for granted. And that bothers me more because he knows better. He played here. We are in year 6, and I'm not seeing urgency. I'm not seeing a guy willing to take any chances or any risks from this last offseason. Oh, we would have had to do major surgery to free up cap space. Well, Steve, the cap is the way it is because of the moves you made. Like, when are you willing to try to push this thing forward? Like, Lalonde even having a job today feels silly. The Boston Bruins fired their coach yesterday.
So it's at 15?
15 coaches in the last 13 months have been replaced in the NHL. Why is Newsy so special? John, I want to tell you about Jim Montgomery, who got let go by the Boston Bruins. Okay, clearly coaching a better roster, but like, tell me you wouldn't at least give this guy a look here. He went 120 and 41 with 23 overtime losses. He won 70% of his games the last several seasons, 184 games. He had a 71% win percentage. I'd call him up, wouldn't you? Or Gerard Gallant, who's currently not coaching. The idea that Lalonde still has the job speaks to a lack of urgency. But this is a six-year problem more than it is a six-week problem.
Well, and we talked about the offense of the Boston Bruins over the last couple of years. And, you know, okay, yeah, they're not producing the way that they were, but they're still a team that is in the hunt for the playoffs. And I'm not sure that the Red Wings are out of the hunt right now. They're only three back of the Bruins. But this is a team that, in the Boston Bruins, that expected to be where they were the last couple of years. They're not. What's the reason? What's the spark? They decided to go with the coach.
Yeah.
And so why not? Hockey is one of those sports, is the sport, where it's most likely that a coach gets fired. You already mentioned it. 15 teams have made a coaching change in the last 13 months. But so you look at the track record of Steve Yzerman. Now, he didn't hire Jeff Blashill.
But he kept him longer than most thought he should.
And so is this going to be the same thing with Derek Lalonde?
And in doing so, do you flush this season down the toilet? A season that at least had the promise. You could have been on the playoff bubble competing, trying to get into that postseason. Are you going to drag this out too long where a change in leadership, a change in voice in that locker room is necessary?
Well, I think the question is, okay, if you're going to stay and say, okay, you know, we're continuing to build, what's the next step? How do you become better?
Because as the ticket texter points out, sums up the Wings as this: no team speed, can't score 5-on-5, sixth oldest team in hockey, ouch, no cap space, no phenoms in the pipeline. Says the Yzer plan is a failure. As a Wings fan of 50 years, what do you guys know? Stevie Y is a genius. Stop with the judgment. He'll get it right even if it takes 15 or 20 years. I trust Stevie no matter what. He knows all. I think there's clearly some smarm in that.
Yeah. I mean, how long are you supposed to wait?
Well, that's the question, right? I didn't say fire him before people freak out on the ticket text. I said it's off course. How many years until you make the playoffs? I know there's the famous Ken Holland, it takes 10 years to rebuild a hockey team. My understanding was 10 years to get from ground zero to the Stanley Cup. You got to make the playoffs somewhere in between, right? Like, are we supposed to believe that, hey, a couple more losing seasons, they'll flip a switch and they'll win the Stanley Cup? That doesn't make sense.
Well, and it was, you lost a tiebreaker at the end to not be in the playoffs last year. How do you find a way to get those one or two extra points? And right now, it doesn't look like those are even on the table.
248-539-9797. This is a spot for you guys to vent because I know this fan base has been patient. I think fans have given Steve Yzerman a lot of leash, a lot of rope. Hey, we get it. You're really good at this. But we're not seeing results on the ice six seasons in, and I do think there are questions that need to be asked. And if he's not willing to fire the coaches, then it is a reflection on him. Right?
Well, I mean, yeah.
If you feel like you've built a good team and you've got a good coach and you're playing this poorly, then you're wrong.
Well, okay, 6 years in. And when is it his team?
Now.
Now. I mean, all of the bad contracts are gone that he inherited.
Yes.
The players that are on this roster are handpicked by him. The coaching staff is handpicked by him. So when does it become, this is who we are, this is who he is?
And they moved on from Wallman and Gostisbehere last year, who were puck-moving defensemen. Why I bring that up, they weren't great in their own zone all the time, but they helped transition defense to offense. They helped you put more shots on goal. While the defense isn't good, at least last year, it came with the option that you could shoot, put pucks on net, and steal a couple wins. They're not even doing that this season. We got phone calls to get to. Is the Iser plan officially off course? An evaluation. It's 97.1.